Our subject for this week and also for next week is going to be on a very important subject, and that is the Holy Spirit. And I didn't think I wanted to cover it all in one week, so we'll take a look at it again next week. And we've looked at a lot of different things with regard to trying to understand God's purpose and plan in the Scriptures. We've looked at it from typically from a right division perspective, God's plan for the ages, various terms and words we continue to study and look at. We've looked at the continuity of Scripture, how from Alpha to Omega there is an overall plan, God's plan, purpose for us. And we've looked at heaven as well as earth, realizing that there's two parts to God's plan, a new heaven and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. But one of the most important subjects in all of that is the Holy Spirit. And we probably haven't looked at it that much, but it is really one of the more important subjects of Scripture. Even a superficial reading of the Bible leaves no doubt that what the Scriptures teach concerning the Holy Spirit is of supreme importance to us. And so today and next Sunday, I want to look and see what might we learn with regard to this Holy Spirit. And the first question that comes out of my mind is, what is the Holy Spirit? Or who is the Holy Spirit? In your mind, how do you see that? What is your concept of the Holy Spirit? Is it voodoo, like, oh, well, it's a ghost, it's Casper or something like that? It's intangible if it's a spirit. You can't see it. And, you know, they say seeing is believing. So how do you see it, this Holy Spirit? Is it an angel? It seems to have power from what we understand. Actually, a lot of power, divine power. Is it a force? Something that's moving that you can't see, but yet it somehow moves? And is that a supreme power? Is that what the Holy Spirit is? Is it something, an aura that has like a... You see the artist's concept of this with the halo around the head of Mary and so forth. Is it a guardian angel? Or is it a person? Can it be a person? Well, in Scripture, the Holy Spirit does actually have titles. And I want to look at those titles here this morning first. And I think when you begin to see these titles, I think we'll begin to get a better idea of actually what and who the Holy Spirit is. The first scripture, the first thing out of God's Word is there in Genesis 1:2. If you want to take a look at that, you probably know it by heart. Genesis 1. Verse 2, and darkness was upon the form of, and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. So it's a part of God. It's a title of part of God, the Spirit of God. At that point, God is Elohim. You see, Abraham only knew God as the Great One, the Mighty One, the Everlasting One. He didn't have the name Jehovah. The name Jehovah didn't come along until Moses. So he knew him as Elohim. So we know that God, Elohim, here at this point, had a spirit, the Spirit of God. Then we find another title, and if you'll go to Isaiah chapter 61. Isaiah chapter 61, it's on page 1007 in the Companion Bible. Isaiah chapter 61, This, of course, is after the name Jehovah had been revealed to Moses. And here we see in chapter 61, verse 1, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because of the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim the liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound. So here we see the name Jehovah included. It is the same name as actually Messiah, the Spirit of the Lord, the Spirit of Jehovah, as well as God. We see again in 1 Corinthians, we jump to the New Testament, 1 Corinthians chapter 6. And I'm running you all over the place this morning. Just be prepared. But, you know, I can tell you these things, but I don't want you to think I just dreamed it up. It's here. This is what it's saying to us. So it's good to see it with your, you know, your eyes and your ears as well. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Verse 11. And such were some of you, but ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus by the Spirit of our God. So here we are finding it, our God, in the New Testament. It's not just the God of Abraham, it's our God, and the word here is theos. So we've seen this Spirit applied to Elohim, the Old Testament. We've seen it applied to Jehovah there in the Old Testament. And here the word theos is used in the New Testament. So it is obviously that this Spirit belongs to God in all of his different aspects and realms. We find it in another instance is in Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. And we see it in verse 29 of that 10th chapter. Oh, how much sore punishment suppose ye shall he be thought worthy, who hath trodden under foot the Son of God, and hath counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing, and hath done despite unto the Spirit of grace. The Spirit of grace, undeserved favor, of course, is the word grace, is charis. So it's the Spirit of God, the Spirit of the Lord, the Spirit of our God, the Spirit of grace. And then in John 14, go back to the book of John, chapter 14. John chapter 14, verse 16. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another Comforter, and he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the Word cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. The Spirit of truth, connected to the Comforter. Look at verse 26 in that 14th chapter. But this Comforter, the Spirit of truth, which is the Holy Spirit, the Father will send in my name. He shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. The Holy Spirit, the Comforter, the Helper, the advocate, the teacher, in chapter 16 of John, in the 7th verse. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I will depart, I will send him. I will send him. The Holy Spirit. It's a part of the deity. It has something to do with him. It's the Spirit. It's the unseen aspect. We've seen Jehovah. We've seen Jesus in the flesh. But there's this other aspect of the deity, the Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, that's there. It's part of him. But we don't see it. We don't think of it because we don't see it. And by these titles, we begin to see that the Holy Spirit is without a doubt a part of the deity, a person. It's just another title of that one. Now, this sometimes raises a problem in the minds of many because they don't understand it. But the first thing you do, if you want to know the truth, is to believe God, even if you don't understand it. That's the very first thing. And ask this Holy Spirit to dwell with you, to help you understand. Anything else dishonors him and exhibits a heart of unbelief. This is why the natural man continues as an agnostic or an atheist. This close personal relationship between the way God has chosen to manifest himself to us in Scripture, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, shows the deity of the Holy Spirit in the three in one of God, the Godhead. And the following scripture shows this close relationship and proves the deity of the Holy Spirit. First, you're in John, turn back to John chapter 5. I made my notes on paper that doesn't have note holes, or to put it in a binder. John chapter 5, look at verse 22, beginning with 22. For the Father judgeth no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son, that all men should honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. He that honoreth not the Son honoreth not the Father which has sent him. So we see that the Father honors the Son. Then in chapter 8 of John, turn over to chapter 8, verse 49. Chapter 8, verse 49. Jesus answered, I have not a devil, but I honor my Father, and ye do dishonor me. And ye do dishonor me. So here we see first the Father honors the Son. Now the Son, who is that? That's Jesus. The Jesus honors the Father, but the Spirit honors the Son. So turn back now further in John to John chapter 15. John chapter 15, verse 26. But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me, Jesus. So the Father honors the Son, the Son, Jesus, honors the Father, and the Spirit honors the Son. It's not convoluted. It's just that it happens to be all over the Scripture. So, Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Page 1699. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Verse 12. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. The Holy Spirit then, being God, becomes a mighty aid, the revealer of truth, so that we may know the things that are freely given. We didn't have the opportunity to know Jehovah. We weren't there when Jesus was there. God Himself now is in heaven, but the Holy Spirit is for us, that we may know the things that are freely given. Now, we do not find a whole lot about the Holy Spirit in Scripture. Why? Because the past and present activities of the Holy Spirit further show Him to be a part of deity. He is not a separate unity. He is that. He is God. He was Jehovah. So there's not that much reason to split Him out and go into great detail. We know about God. We know about Jesus. And this Holy Spirit was a part of that. There are seven different activities of the Holy Spirit, and I want to point out all seven of them. First, look at John 1. John chapter 1. It goes back to that first verse of Genesis chapter 1. John chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. And we saw that then in the second chapter of, or the first verse, the second verse of Genesis, we saw that the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. He was there. He was that part of God. So His first activity was creative works. He always is connected with God and the Word. The Spirit of God was always there during this creative time. So He had a lot to do with the creation of all things. The second thing is found in 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1, page 1865 in the Companion Bible. Second Peter chapter 1. Verse 20. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation, for the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. Inspiration of Scripture. His creative works and the inspiration that He provided to those who penned God's Word. All the way from Moses to Paul. All of that inspiration was a result of the Holy Spirit. And I'm going to tell you, if the Holy Spirit can inspire, can somehow have the power to move to these men to what they did, he can also have an influence on our lives as a supreme power. And it comes through the Word. So, number three, turn back to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Verse 9. But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. So he is a revealer of truth to us that believe. Number four, back up to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. Beginning with verse 16. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. So he bears witness for us and to us. To who? To the Father. To himself. Number five. Turn over to 2 Corinthians chapter 1. A couple books over in your Bible. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Verse 21. Now he which establisheth us with you in Christ hath anointed us is God, who hath also sealed us and given the earnest of the Spirit in our hearts. Now here's where right division comes in. He has provided anointing, but not to you and me. This is back then. They were anointed with the Holy. They had the power that was given to them. Who's anointed today? Christ Jesus was the anointed one. As the head of the body, he's anointed, but we are not anointed. But nevertheless, at some point he was a creator. He created the heaven and the earth. At this point, he is the anointer. He anointed that early church with the powers that they had. Number six, turn in Ephesians chapter 4, page 1767. Ephesians chapter 4. Verse 30. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. So he seals us. What does that mean? It means that your salvation cannot be, Satan cannot touch you in your Christian faith and in your salvation. That's sealed. He died on the cross for you, and that's taken care of forever. You remember the verse, we wrestle not against flesh and blood. That's been taken care of by him. He seals us until the day of resurrection. Number 7 is found in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, page 1797. Second Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13. But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. So the 7th one is sanctification. Separation. We are set aside regardless of our sin. He loves, forgives, and sets you aside. You are sanctified, protected to live again. So, 1, creative works, the work of the Spirit. 2, inspiration of the Scriptures. 3, he is the revealer of truth. 4, he is a witness for us and to us. 5, he provided anointing to that early church. 6, he seals us until the day of redemption and resurrection. And 7, sanctification. The Holy Spirit sets us apart. But let this be clear. Knowledge and understanding cannot come from just Bible courses. Bible courses are good? Yep. But if you're just looking at them and you don't have the Holy Spirit with you, it's just more writing. Knowledge and understanding cannot come from just teachers. I'm grateful that the knowledge and understanding of the Scripture, some comes from the lips of others. But it can't come just from teachers. Knowledge and understanding of God's Word cannot come just from methods of study. Knowledge and understanding cannot come just from preachers. Are preachers, teachers good? Yes. Can we learn something? Yes, we can learn. But it can't come just from that. Knowledge and understanding can't come from just books. Knowledge and understanding of God's plan cannot come from science. Is science good? Yes. Can we somehow tie the two together, like maybe we have in some of these lessons on the world that then was? We learn things, we can see things. Knowledge and understanding cannot come just from reading the Bible, believe it or not. You can read the Bible until you're blind, but it's no different than reading Shakespeare if you are a natural man only. Why? Back up to Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10. Verse 17. So faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You can read the Scripture like I said, until you're blind. But it's the Holy Spirit that speaks to you. It's the Holy Spirit through this written word that you gain knowledge and understanding. It is by the Holy Spirit alone that we receive knowledge of the truth through the word. Therefore, we must continually pray like the psalmist of old. Psalms 119, verse 18. Let me read it to you. Open thou mine eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. Open my eyes. The Holy Spirit opens, can open your understanding. Paul uses somewhat the same phrase when he says the eyes of our understanding might be opened. Why is that true? Turn over a book here from Romans over to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Verse 14. The natural man receiveth not things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. The natural man receiveth not things of the Spirit, for they are foolishness to him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. If you don't know Christ as your personal Savior, you are a natural man. Let me answer this question. Is Christ the Son of God? If you say yes, then you're not a natural man. If you say no, you are a natural man. Is Christ the Son of God? Or is he the biggest fool to ever walk the face of the earth? That's the difference between those that can understand his word because of the Spirit of God. Hebrews chapter 11. Turn over to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11, page 1840. Verse 6, but without faith it is impossible to please God, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. The natural man can, like I say, read the scripture until he's blind. It's only those that believe does this Spirit of God come and dwell with you and give you understanding to his purpose and plan for the ages. I had a funny thought. It's almost like this Holy Spirit is the first smartphone. The scriptures, the Holy Spirit, it somehow comes to you to believe. And the natural man just stirs it around and he doesn't believe it and he doesn't understand it, consequently. So that's what we are about here at the Forum, at the Bible Forum. We understand that this is God's inspired word, that he is a revealer of truth. And so I just pray that all of us will continue to grow in the grace and the knowledge of him as we search and see what is the truth. And this is in Christ's name. Amen.